Aaron Copeland's The Tender Land.
Ah, beautiful programming right here on WHFR Dearborn. Thank you for listening. Hope you're enjoying this classical music. Speaking of beautiful music and great programming, particularly live programming, we invite you to learn more about the upcoming 2009-2010 season of the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra. That's right, that gem of amazing artists performing beautiful, beautiful music in our own backyard, really, at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. To learn more about the upcoming season, which really is not as far away as you might think. First performance kicks off on Friday, October the 2nd. Call this number, 313-565-2424. It's the Dearborn Symphony office, 565-2424. Or check out the website, dearbornsymphony.org. That's dearbornsymphony.org. Perhaps you had the pleasure of enjoying a performance from this season, and we hope you'll have the pleasure of enjoying one from next. Thanks to the Dearborn Symphony for all of their hard work, and keep up the great work.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn, 89.3 on your FM dial. It is 10 o'clock and time for Metaphysically Speaking.
Good morning. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Lisa Cielo, and she's an angel therapy practitioner, and she also practices other different metaphysical modalities, but primarily we're going to be talking to her today about angel therapy to begin with anyway. Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks. How are you?
I'm good so far anyway. Now, angel therapy, what exactly is that?
Actually, it's a healing modality developed by Doreen Virtue. She was a clinical psychologist, and she started to evolve in her work where she started to work with the angel. She had a near-death experience, well, a close-to-death experience in 1995, where she experienced a carjacking. She had heard angelic guidance to put the top up of her convertible, and she didn't do it, and somebody tried to hijack her, you know, or carjack her, and so she decided this is a path she needed to follow, so she started to write books, and the and, you know, about energy and angels and different things, and that is what, you know, was part of her path. And she started to teach others because there was such a large demand on her time where she couldn't do all the work herself. So she wanted more people to be able to, you know, work with the angels and help people. So that's where her class came in. There's a angel therapy practitioner course you take with her. It's, you know, like 5 or 6 days, you know, depending on which class you take of hers.
Mm-hmm. Whether it's the deluxe course or just the quick course, is that it?
Well, it changed because originally, I think when I did it in 2005, it was 6 days, but I think it's 5 days right now. They shift things, you know, with their curriculum and, you know, the amount of time that it takes to take the class. But you get a lot of support. There's an online community. And you also do, you know, you do have an internship period of time where you practice doing readings and, you know, working with the energies. It's really helpful to have that support.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you do these readings, do you get messages from angels? Is that how it comes through you, or how does that work exactly?
Yes, absolutely. They do work the similar way that normal, I guess, psychic information comes through. You have the what is called the clairs. There's clairvoyance. You've probably heard of that. And mm-hmm. that the word, the prefix clair means clear. So if say you know you look at the word clairvoyance, that means clear seeing. So if you tend to be a visual person in your day-to-day life, you're going to, your intuition or psychic gifts are going to operate that way, where you'll see things or see them in your mind's eye. You might see number sequences or see things. There are different visions, you know. There's clairaudience, so, you know, if you tend to be one that is more auditory, you know, that's how your intuition will work. But there's also claircognizance, which, you know, your intuition comes through your thoughts, and clairsentience is more through your body, where you'll feel things like your gut feeling, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's a combination of them, but I tend to be more of a visual person, so clairvoyance and a little bit of, you know, claircognizance. Mm-hmm. So it comes through for everyone differently, but I'll hear things sometimes. It's really, it depends. It's dependent on the client, you know, and what they need in their energy.
Right. Do you use some type of deck of cards or something that have angels on them that might give you messages?
Yes. I consider oracle cards, you know, angel cards, that kind of thing. They're a tool. They kind of help to amplify your, you know, intuition or to give further insights where, and especially since I'm more visual, they do have art on them. So I will sort of read into them. They kind of tell a story, and each time I give a reading, the cards will have different meanings. So I tend to work intuitively with the cards, and they're also for providing clarification or confirmation for the client. It's very useful for them, you know, because a lot of times the cards will reiterate what the angels are saying. They work together that way, and there's no special power with the cards. They're just an extension of, you know, the work you're already doing, really. They're just a tool.
Mm-hmm. Do you actually see angels? And by angels, I mean, over the years, you see pictures or paintings of angels with wings. They have a human form. They're wearing halos. Is that something you see or not necessarily?
Actually, I do. You know, I see them more in my mind's eye, or sometimes if I'm really relaxed in a meditative state or I've just woken up, I will see the energetic outline of them, because I can read energies if I want to use that as my intention, but sometimes it's information overload if I have to go out grocery shopping or, yeah, you know, to the mall. So I really, you know, I try to tune it down. But, you know, if somebody has an interest in what their angels look like or, you know, their names, I will tap into that a little more. You know, sometimes people want that kind of specific information versus just what's happening in their career or relationship.
Right. Now, if you are out and about, do you pick up on certain things, and does that agitate you at all sometimes?
You know, it doesn't really agitate me. I think it's just I'm sensitive, so I have to really, it's like tuning in, just like we have the equipment here right now. You have to make sure you're on the right dial for what you're doing. Like if I'm working out, it's going to be tiring to me if, you know, my angels start coming through. So they know, you know, just give me gentle messages, but I'm not always tuned in, or else I would get really tired and really drained. So it works different for me depending on what I'm doing and where I'm at. You know, it can be overwhelming. It's an energy thing, because everything is energy, including angels, and they're all positive and loving, but I think it's just a lot.
Mm-hmm. Now, when these angels speak to you, is it actual words, or, you know, like you said, you might get visions? Is that it? Does that work best for you?
Actually, yeah, I do get both, and I think, yeah, they do communicate with visuals for me. I will see different things, and they're very symbolic, and what I have to really work on doing is not interpreting them for the client. I'll say, oh, I'm seeing a beach. What does this mean to you? And they may be going on vacation. They may have just bought a beach home. I shy away from interpretation unless it's my own. Mm-hmm. It's information, you know, for myself that, you know, is going to be useful in my own life. But I do hear things, and a lot of times I will see words or hear them repeatedly. I might even hear a song on the radio, and it will have a message for me, which is kind of humorous, being, you know, a musician.
Right.
It's really funny. It shows how your intuition, it operates, what way it will resonate with you.
Right. Well, I've experienced that myself. I think that happens to people. Sometimes they wake up, and they have a certain song going through their head, and if they're thinking about a certain problem or situation in life, sometimes that song applies to what's going on. And I've even gone out and looked up lyrics and things like that to see how it applies to what's going on with what I'm thinking about.
Oh, so, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, well, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but, you know, I do it anyway. Now, when you give a reading, is it better to do it in person? I know you do it in person, over the phone, even you do emails, right?
Yes, and I find that I have the ability to do it in equal parts. It really doesn't matter. Some people really prefer to be in person, just like we are right now, you know, where you can read, you know, more than just energies, because you can read energy at a distance. It doesn't know any time, distance, or space. So some people do prefer in person because they like the human contact, and mm-hmm. I really work to, you know, respect that. But a lot of people are open to the phone reading thing now that some of the negativity about psychic hotlines has been dispelled, because there are positive readers that work over the phone.
Right. Now, when you do an email reading, how do you pick up a vibration? Just because when you look at a computer screen, you're just seeing words, you're not really getting any type of, I guess, human contact, any type of vibration. How does that work?
Well, it's really similar to a phone reading. I just type it out. I have to tap into the energy. It's similar to meditation, where, you know, you have to sit and just still your mind and be quiet. And, of course, you know, the angels and guides and divine helpers really do control, and not really, I don't want to say the word control, that might sound negative, but they really do work to help facilitate the information that needs to come through. You either hear it or, you know, your fingers will start typing really quickly. Not that, right. You know, I have any energies or entities take over my physical body. I'm not comfortable with that myself.
Mm-hmm. So you don't do automatic writing per se?
Yeah, you know, I prefer to call it angelic writing or inspired writing. And also I've been experimenting with writing with a non-dominant hand. So you use your left hand, you ask, you know, you got to do your spiritual and energetic preparation. You ask the angels, hey, you know, what messages do you have? And can you keep me safe while I, you know, write this down? So I write down the question with my right hand. And I tend to, you know, write with both hands, but I will, you know, specify that my left hand is my non-dominant hand, and messages will come through and you can actually read them. They're actually legible. So, And of course, if they're loving, that's how you'll know you're tapped into, you know, true divine guidance.
Right. That's important. So that you feel that you're getting an honest opinion or an honest answer by using your left hand, because it's not all, I don't know, I guess tied up with your brain that, you know, normally your dominant hand will be.
Yes, I think it helps it to flow, and it helps you to detach from, you know, your human ego. We all have egos, but it helps you to just really be open. I mean, it's like part of being, you know, on the spiritual path is that we're human and we have an ego. It helps us, you know, in some ways too, you know, but it helps me, you know, personally to write with the non-dominant hand. That way I don't really know what to expect. I don't, you know what's going to come through.
Mm-hmm. So you're more open to whatever information you receive, right?
Yeah, I do that a lot actually for myself. It's funny you mentioned it. I do keep messages like that in my journal and refer to them. It's one of the ways I can, you know, I'm prone to, you know, ego just like anybody else. Even though I give readings, I still have to get my own guidance and work on myself too.
Right. Well, sometimes it's hard to be objective though when you do your own readings. Isn't that true?
Yes, it can be. I think over time though, you get more confident in yourself. It's just like practicing for an athletic event or, you know, practicing any skill. You get more comfortable with doing it for yourself. It just takes some time and, of course, you know, quieting the ego.
Right. And that's sometimes the toughest thing to do, isn't it? Just to shut everything off and really zone in on the message?
Yes. I think, yeah, that's the challenge with being your own psychic, I think, or your own intuitive. But you'll notice, though, that things will have a certain element of repetition where you'll hear the divine guidance, you know, repeatedly, and then you know, well, wait, you know, I heard it third time. You know, third time's a charm. I better take some action on this and listen to this.
Mm-hmm. And this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and today my special guest is Lisa Cielo, and she's an angel practitioner, and we are talking about that right now. Now, according to your website, you say that you combine that with kind of a punk rock attitude. How does that work?
Yes, I think it's my, I guess, spiritual rebellion is not accepting, you know, of course, you know, rebelling against your ego, but also about the mass consciousness that you have to be or act a certain way. And I think it was interesting because I, you know, I grew up being quite rebellious, but it was more of an internal thing. And I think that I had to be really authentic in the way I market myself, because that, you know, flowy light worker archetype is not really me. So I am a little more honest and down to earth with people. I don't really give a lot of fluffy information.
Mm-hmm. Keep it simple, just like punk rock music, right? It's usually very simple.
Yeah, keeping it, you know, to what, you know, we do need to hear. We need things on a human level. I mean, it's great to hear that your aura is a certain color or these are your guides' names, but what about action steps or different things that you need to do, you know, to, you know, live the life you desire?
Right, so you don't play like the Ramones or the Clash in the background maybe when you're giving a reading, anything like that?
Well, that's after probably to get grounded,
okay.
Right?
There you go,
know,
because
it is a grounding kind of music.
Right.
Any music really is grounding. You
it's
know?
A release too, isn't it? I mean, if you listen to that.
Yeah, when I did massage years ago, I really noticed after, you know, being locked in a dark room for 5 or 6 hours listening to New Age music, I needed to create that, you know, I guess balance with your nervous system. Here I was, you know, I learned about, you know, the nervous system in massage school. I'm like, wait, I have too much parasympathetic activation in my nervous system. I need to do something a little more energizing. So I felt guilty for a while. I'm like, wait, no, this is who I am. It's good.
Yeah, right. There's nothing wrong with that. You have to honor your own feelings and thoughts. Now, you used to be a massage therapist, and you said that when you gave therapy and massages that you actually received messages, and that kind of gave you an indication that maybe you should really get into this more deeply as far as giving readings?
Yes, it was interesting how that path really opened me to my spiritual one, but it also had the quality that it helped me to remember, you know, my intuitive background, because I had always been around intuitive women, specifically my grandma, and I'd always thought that intuition and psychics, things like that, were natural and normal. Mm-hmm. So it was real interesting to me that, you know, I had taken this big 360 leap, you know, it's like a 360 degree turn from, I thought I was going to law school to going to massage school, because that wasn't meant to be the path for me. I think I would have expressed as a healer no matter what I, you know, chose to do for a living, but it was just right there. I couldn't ignore it.
Right. You had to concentrate on that as opposed to law.
Yeah, or just, you know, even with, you know, doing massage, it became obvious that, you know, to me that I wasn't supposed to do physical work with people per se. Mm-hmm. It helped me, and I'm grateful for the, you know, the education and training, but I don't think that was where I was supposed to focus. I did get into it to start. I really had the intention to, you know, do energy work more than massage when I went to massage school, and I kind of sidestepped that for a while, but they made sure, you know, the divine helpers and angels made sure I got back on track.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said you were psychic, I guess from an early age, you realized that you had a special gift?
Yeah, and I sort of, you know, not to pick on you, but I think
everyone, you know. That's no. Okay, I'm used to it,
No, I think everyone has it. I think it's whether you choose to use it, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think growing up, I was aware of it, and that I just thought everyone had it, so I really didn't have a frame of reference that, you know, I just, you know, for a while, I mean, I guess when I went to school, I did start to feel different, but a lot of people, I guess that's where, you know, my punk rock side comes in, and people say, oh, you know, I'm special, I have these gifts. I'm like, well, everyone does, everyone is special, you know, so
right.
That's not, you know, I'm not picking on, you know, the question, but that's how I tend to look at it, and...
Mm-hmm. So you just assumed that everybody had these abilities and then it was nothing special?
Yes, I did. I just thought that everyone saw energies or color or just knew what, you know, who was going to call when the phone rang. I just thought everyone had it. So
mm-hmm. So what's your earliest memory? I mean, how old were you when you really realized that you had this ability?
Gosh, I can't really pinpoint it to, you know, one specific thing, but I think the challenge of going to parochial school for me was, you know, interesting because, you know, I went for 9 years and, you know, you hear, you know, it's a sin to, you know, talk mm-hmm. to psychics. And so I really did keep it secret. And I just remember, you know, knowing things about people and, you know, sometimes I would say things and I would get in trouble at school, you know,
right.
Different things. Well, how did you know that? And just so I learned, you know, from an early age to, you know, it wasn't probably the healthiest way to handle it, but, you know, luckily I had my grandma and my mom too in my life, you know, to kind of support me with it.
Mm-hmm. So that runs through your family, the fact that you have psychic ability or advanced degree of psychic ability?
Yeah, I think so. Well, when my grandma was alive, she was very psychic, and, you know, her and I would, we would play around with cards and, you know, tea leaves. She definitely had it. And I do believe my mom has it, so it must be on the maternal side. But I noticed, like, even, you know, with male relatives in my family that, you know, it's really pronounced that it just, you know, it's whether you choose to use it or acknowledge it. Because some people don't really think it's a big deal either. They're just mm-hmm. like, oh, well, you know, so it's just it's normal and natural for some people I know in my family.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have children. How many children do you have?
Oh, I don't.
Oh, I thought you had children. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Oh, no. I have a wonderful nephew who's 5. He's
okay.
Just gorgeous. Really uh-huh. great energy. So I do love kids. I just don't have any of my own.
Right. But you do say that your husband is studying this as well?
Yeah. He's been, you know, on the path, the spiritual path for a while. He kind of got his through, you know, I was telling you earlier about quantum physics. He, you know, studied engineering. He was an engineer for many years. So I had bought him the book Divine Matrix by Greg Braden for Valentine's Day 1 year. It fell off the shelf and the angels like, buy this for your husband.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he started to get into spirituality and he's taking, you know, some of the same classes with Jordan Virtue that I have.
Mm-hmm. So now do you study other books as well? I mean, as far as angels go, I mean, just not only with Doreen, but it's an ongoing education?
Yes, I do notice, though, you know, with the advent of so much good information on the internet, I tend to Google the things,
uh-huh.
you know, because I have quite the book collection, but I'll borrow books from different people just to get other authors' perspective. But, you know, that goes with everything. You know, I try not to just stick to angels. I like to learn about other things, too.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that your specialty is angels, per se, though?
It's probably what I've studied the most, I would say, you know, that, and also energy. You know, energy work has always had a, you know, near and dear place in my heart.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of energy work do you do as well as angels?
Well, I notice many of the things I've studied have become more like tools that I use for myself, but I do incorporate that sometimes with, you know, of course, with clients. But, you know, I am a Reiki master, and I've dabbled in things like healing touch and polarity, and a little bit of, you know, the energy work buffet, so to speak. I've read a lot of different books and really resonated with them.
Right, so it's a smorgasbord of different things, is that it?
Yes, there's so many tools you can have in your toolbox, and, you know, so many of them are so practical that you can use them, you know, all day long if you so choose, or, you know, you'll remember them when you need them.
Now, people often mention the fact they have a guardian angel. Do you feel that's true, that everybody is assigned perhaps one or two angels that look over them?
Yeah, I really do believe that, and I think, you know, that you can have more if you desire, you know, because angels work on free will, so if you desire that, you can say, hey, angels, I would like to have more help, you know, or more guardian angels. You can call in millions if you really, you know, want it.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you see angels, again, you don't really see them as human beings. You just pick up an essence.
Yeah, I do work mostly in vibration, and I'll see sometimes, you know, actual things with my physical eyes, but I have noticed even sometimes that I've, you know, had situations where somebody didn't really seem like they were from this world. So I think, you know, they're kind of like angels sent to help us, you know, different things that, you know, or they said something or did something just in that moment, and then I turned around and they were gone. So that has been kind of interesting for me. I've had that in places in my life when I just, you know, felt so much, you know, sadness, despair.
Now, do you feel that angels guide you on a daily basis? Is that possible?
I think they do. It's just whether do I pay attention or do I listen? That's where, you know, I know I come into. I do think, you know, they'll let me know if I'm going to be unsafe. You know, they will work to get my attention. But I do, you know, have that intention when I start my day. You know, energy follows intention. You've probably heard that. So every day before I go to work or before I start my day, I'll say, hey, angels, will you guide me and help everything, you know, to be of love and to be for my highest and best good and help me to help those that I can help the most. So I really like to use an intention. It might vary every day too, but I do notice that they will help me. I will sometimes hear songs about angels even on the radio, and it will kind of crack me up. They're giving me a shout out, I think, like, hi.
Do you think there are angels living among us?
You know, I'm really open to that idea and possibility. I'd like to think that, you know, in our times with, you know, the shifts that we're experiencing, it's definitely a possibility.
This is WHFR. FM, the station that is always making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Lisa Cielo, and she is an angel practitioner. Now, when you give a reading, what do you do to get into the mood to give a reading? Do you meditate beforehand? How do you get into that mood?
Well, I tend to be a meditator every day. You know, that's how I start my day. But I do, you know, do take a few minutes to shift my energy, you know, from being a busy human. And I will sit and I'll take some breaths. I use some of, you know, deep breaths or breathing. And then I'll just clear my own energy and, you know, get in that space. And I notice the way I'll feel them, that I know, okay, I'm dialed in or I'm tapped in, is I start to get really warm physically. And I'll feel flutterings or just it feels like, you know, hot flashes. So I'll start to feel that, and I know, you know, I'm ready. And it's interesting because I will, you know, as a person, you know, talking to people every day, just regular conversation, I tend to be quiet and soft-spoken and talk slow. But when I get into readings, you know, things accelerate, you know, whether it's my voice or just, you know, the energy, it will feel different. It has a different quality.
So in essence, at that point, you know that you're channeling?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, channeling is a good way to describe it because you're in the divine flow. You know, that's all channeling is because musicians do it, artists do it, you know, people, you know, that even do public speaking, you know, you'll notice like their energy will shift once they get behind the microphone.
Right, they get into the flow and they just go with it. Is that it?
Yeah, I do think it is just being in the divine flow and just bringing forth what the divine wants to bring through you. You're just a, you know, messenger kind of thing. You know, it wants to come through you. It's not from you, but it wants to come through you. You're the conduit.
Right. What is an archangel?
Archangels are, I think the best way to describe them is they're kind of the bosses. They're kind of like middle management, actually. They're bosses of the guardian angels, but they're also messengers. So they work, that's the way they work, is mostly through giving us messages and helping us that way with our own divine guidance or different areas of life. You know, there's different ones for different, you know, you can call on for specific help.
Well, you mentioned Michael. Is he I've always heard that he's the number one angel. I don't know. Is that true?
Well, I think, his name, it means of God. So, some people argue that he's the closest to God and he's the most powerful. But his energy is very warrior-like and strong. So perhaps, that's why you feel, some people will feel him so strongly or so obviously.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel that same vibration yourself sometimes?
Yeah, I tend to work with him quite a bit. It's interesting you mentioned that because I think, I have a resonance with his energy, just as protective, and he's about helping people with life purpose, and that's what I tend to attract, so it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. In this day and age, do a lot of people come to you with questions about career and things like that? I mean, when am I going to find a job? Should I change careers? Anything like that?
Yes, I would say about probably 80 to 90% of my practice is questions about career and life purpose. It's important to me, so I think it works via law of attraction. I attract a lot of people with that as their concern. So there's definitely more of it though, even with, the so-called bad economy, going on. It's just
right.
Giving people a chance to shift into something, or work that resonates more with them.
Right. Do people come to you for advice on investments at all? Which stock to buy? Which mutual funds to invest in?
I don't get a lot of that, actually. I think, I sort of said to the angels, hey, can you filter that out? Because I'm not comfortable. I don't really work with that a lot in my mm-hmm. own daily life, so I don't feel qualified, maybe. But, I always tell people, when in doubt, love. If it feels loving and it feels good, then it's a good choice,
Mm-hmm. Again, you're really just offering advice, though. You're not really telling people they have to do certain things, correct, whenever you give a reading?
Yes, I really like the idea of honoring free will because I do, personally believe in a free will universe. So I think that's real important just to empower people. It's really the choice is up to you, but here are the options right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like a set of possibilities.
Mm-hmm. So you don't feel that people are on a certain path and that's it? They can't deviate one way or the other from that?
I think you can change, whether it's your thought, having a different thought or feeling or just taking one small action, it will shift your whole course. So I think it really depends on what you want or what do you desire.
Mm-hmm. So when you do give a reading, how long does it usually take? I mean, there are different time frames you use to have different readings?
Yes, I think if somebody just has one area that they would like to focus on, a half hour of time usually works well. The way I work, every reader's different, but if somebody has multiple life areas, I would say more than two.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know a little bit about everything. I always encourage people to get an hour, but also, again, the free will thing, if they want a 15-minute reading or half-hour reading, you have to use the intention that whatever they need to know comes through in that time.
Right. So you just open yourself up and whatever comes out, correct?
Yes, I really do try to detach from, the results, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Do you try to filter out information that might be detrimental or might scare a client?
Yes, I think it's all a communication thing, but I try not to work with the negative things, and I always try to frame it as a growth lesson. Well, here is an area that may feel like an obstacle or, something negative, but it's something actually you can turn it around and use it in your benefit or to your advantage.
Mm-hmm. And again, sometimes you get things that you really don't know what they mean, but then you ask the other person and usually it resonates with them somehow.
Yes, I've had that too, where, just some information comes through, it can be, I guess, quote unquote, mundane or just really important, and I just reveal it to them, and I try to do it, in a loving way, but it will make sense to them. They'll say, oh yeah, I know what that is. So I may not have their full factual details of what's going on in their life. I just have to go with what's coming through and tell them.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you first meet a client, do you maybe interview them to get some background information, or do you just open yourself up to the angels and whatever comes out, comes out?
The way I work, I don't like to receive a lot of information before the reading, so I'll just say, well, do you have an area of concern or an area we'd like to focus in the reading, or do you have a specific question? If they don't, we'll just do general, and I always give people the leeway to ask a question or interrupt me.
Mm-hmm. So you're not opposed to saying just out of the blue, oh, I want to know about this, and they'll bring that up when you're perhaps discussing something else?
Yes, because sometimes people need to get in a receptive state and get relaxed, so the things that are stressing them out might be under the surface,
mm-hmm.
and they won't come out until, we talk about one or two areas, or just they will. I always give them, the option to change course in the reading.
Right, so you try to be empowering. Right?
Yeah, I like that word. I really, that's, my intention with, this work.
Mm-hmm. And that's your main goal with working with clients?
Yeah, personal empowerment and also helping people, you know, create the life they desire, just knowing, you know, what, you know, the hidden gifts and talents are, you know, that are there that they aren't maybe noticing or recognizing, and how to take action on that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. And any problems they might be having, you also offer guidance. Again, it's a choice for them to choose it or not, whatever advice you may have for them, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, something, you know, if somebody wanted to know, well, should I leave my spouse or should I quit my job? You know, I like to give the energy or the information for both, you know, courses of action, or just the, mm-hmm. you know, course of action and not taking action.
Mm-hmm. Has anybody followed your advice and then come back to you and say, I'm not really happy with the way things turned out?
You know, I haven't encountered that a whole lot. So I think, you know, free will again comes in. People must have taken a different course of action, or they were empowered with the guidance that they needed, so they chose what was best for them. But yeah, I try not to worry too much about that. I just, you know, have the intention to help people in the way that they need help, in whatever way healing means for them.
Mm-hmm. Again, you just let the angels talk to you, and whatever comes to you, you just tell them as it comes?
Yes, I work to do that. And I think that, you know, it varies so much with each client, because some people want more of, you know, spiritual information about their spiritual path, how they can be more intuitive, or, you know, even, you know, on the practical level too, like how can I live more of my life purpose, or how can I heal, you know, these situations or energies from the past? Like, what are the angels saying?
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the things that people can do to become more intuitive?
Well, really, meditation is a great way, but just being open to it, that, you know, because it sets things in motion. Like, if you start to recognize something, it increases it more in your life. So if you start to recognize the areas that you are intuitive, it will attract more situations, you know, whether it's books, teachers, or, you know, people to share with. You know, it helps to have some people that, you know, you can gut check and say, am I going crazy? Did I get this right? And it really helps your development a lot to do that. But there's teachers you can study with. And also just being loving and, you know, doing the things you enjoy. It opens your heart. When your heart's open, you're going to receive more of your intuitive guidance.
Mm-hmm. But after a while, you just have to trust some of the information you receive. And though on the surface you may think, wow, I don't really think that's right, or that doesn't sound very good.
Yes, it is a big trust thing. I think that's, you know, if there is a challenge in working with intuition, that would be the one, is trusting. And there's right. never any wrong choices or, you know, wrong things. It's just what was right in the moment, really. We can always say in hindsight, well, it would have been better had I taken this course of action.
Right. Now, when somebody comes to you and asks you, should I leave my mate? That's a pretty big decision. Do you feel responsible for any advice you may give them?
Yes, I do. And I think that's why I do work with, you know, a little bit of a disclaimer. You know, it's more responsible for me to do that and say, well, I'm going to give you some information, but I want you to know that it is up to you, and it is really, you know, your choice. So you have to take this reading with what only resonates with you and use it to make that best decision for you.
Mm-hmm. So again, it boils down to what the person actually wants to do and feels right about doing.
Yeah, and I always tell people with questions like that, there's always room for healing. But just when you tap in to staying or going, whether it's a job or a spouse, go into your own body, even if, you know, you're more a physical person, just see how you feel in your heart or just in your spirit. How does that make you feel to stay or go? You know, how does that look like, and what do you feel like?
Right. What kind of disclaimer do you use?
Well, I do have one on my website, but just, you know, if somebody does ask a question, even about health, I'll say, well, here is some information that's coming through, but you have to understand I'm not a physician, I'm not a doctor, so I don't diagnose or prescribe, really. So sometimes the information from the angels is not, oh, take this medicine, or maybe, you know, you might want to see a doctor, or you might mm-hmm. want to drink a little bit more water or get to bed earlier. It's simple things that we all know we should be doing.
Right, right. Getting more exercise, something like that.
Yes.
Yes, very important. Now, when you work with the angels, is it something that you just feel again? I guess what I'm trying to find out is, based on what people perceive as angels, is not necessarily what you get when you see angels, correct?
Well, yeah, I think I read somewhere that the angels decided to appear with wings because so many people had seen their energy And it looked like wings, so that's how they'll appear, you know, because a lot of artists drew them that way, that we're seeing them probably, you know, like in the Renaissance era, there was a lot of angel paintings, I think. So I think, yeah, but, you know, it's interesting. I do see, you know, physical manifestations of them sometimes with, like, artwork or bumper stickers or, you know, figurines, different things. And it kind of cracks me up because people give them to me as gifts a lot. Oh, they know I'm into angels, but... You know, it really depends, because if I have an intention, like I really want to see them, I will, but I don't feel super attached to it, to doing the readings.
So you don't see people with halos or things like that necessarily?
Well, sometimes, you know, I think I'll see, like, certain people have an affinity for a certain sort of angelic or divine helper, you know, if they're wearing a lot of Native American color, you know, jewelry. Or just, you know, they have an affinity, you know, they'll seem more earthy, so I know they might be into Native American spirituality, so they might be into their power animals. I will get certain information about the vibration, or if somebody's Christian, you know, they more than likely will resonate with the angels or the saints, you know, different divine helpers in that realm.
Mm-hmm. And you also see auras?
Yeah, I can see, if I use it as my intention, I can see it, but a lot of times I will tune that out because there's a lot of sensory information, because there's a lot of information in energy field.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever get conflicting messages from the angels?
Well, sometimes people will say, you know, they'll receive this message, it's something like this, you know, everything's in divine order and it will happen according to divine timing. So there's this balance of taking action and trust that that sometimes will feel, in a way, conflicting to some people.
Mm-hmm. So that's the hard part sometimes, to actually trust the information you receive?
Yeah, sometimes too, just knowing that, you know, no matter what you do, you're going to be okay, but just, you know, being brave enough to take action on it, on the human level.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you have to go forward. You can't be afraid all the time, correct?
Yeah, just even doing one baby step a day outside your comfort zone, it really helps, I think. You know, and you'll be okay.
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know. You just never know. And I just want to briefly remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Lisa Celo, and we're starting off talking about angel therapy, but we're also touching on other metaphysical modalities as well. Now, you said you started really young, but you didn't see angels when you were really young?
Yeah, actually, I think I did, because, you know, I did go, like I said, I went to parochial school for 9 years, and I did see energies and stuff, especially, you know, in church or around people, and sometimes it would make me laugh in some ways, because if somebody was being, you know, in a way, you know, that was really misbehaving, I would see, you know, angels around them kind of trying to help them to be good.
Yeah.
You know, like the principal's son.
Oh, really? Did it work?
Yeah, and I sometimes would call on them for help, you know, in a test, and I would, you know, see them helping other people, you know, taking, you know, tests in school, especially, and I would start laughing, because I think it was really funny to me, and, you know, especially, too, if people, you know, seemed a certain way, but they were surrounded by angels, so it's like, wow, really, they are a good person, they're not, you know, always misbehaving, they're actually really good.
Right, now, did the angels help you in school at all, take tests and stuff? Were you an A student?
I was really good in school, but I think, yeah, I just noticed that in tests, especially in college, where it was like an essay situation, a lot of times I'd look at what I wrote later and I was like, wow, I'm really smart, but it wasn't me.
Yeah, right. You were more or less channeling at that point?
I really think I was, because I was able to really do, you know, I was a political science major in college, so I had to read and write a lot. Mm-hmm. So I think I was calling on some of that, but I wasn't conscious of it, really.
Right. And you also said you wanted to be a lawyer, or you were going to law school?
Yes, I was considering it. I was working as a paralegal when I got out of school. I'm kind of grateful for that experience, because it saved me a lot of time and money from going to law school. It just didn't resonate with me, and I wasn't, I thought I would be able to help people the way I wanted to, but I wasn't real certain how. I just knew I wanted to help people, and I always had an interest in, you know, things like the legal profession, but I just knew it wasn't for me.
Right. You also said, and it's on your website, that being a paralegal and the fact that you did massage therapy, that that's helped you in your current career.
Yes, I believe so, in working with people one-on-one and learning how to listen. you know, from an objective standpoint, that really helped. And also to be, you know, good practitioner, you know, be ethical and just try to be mindful, you know, of different people. You know, I think I got exposed to a lot of people from different walks of life, and it was great. It was just this big smorgasbord, you know. Mm-hmm. It really helped me to understand a variety of people's energies and challenges and how it looks for them and just, you know, how to be compassionate.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had a client come to you and you really feel like you cannot work with that person?
Sometimes. I think it's really rare. Sometimes people will put up, you know, this, like, wall.
Right.
And I'll just ask them, are you sure you would really like a reading? You know, I don't want to call them on it, but I'll just, and they'll soften or just, you know, if they don't resonate with me, I always say, well, hey, if you aren't feeling the connection the first couple minutes is your session, you know, just let me know. I can definitely refer you. I know so many readers and healers, I can refer you to somebody.
Right. Now, when somebody does come to you, do you just, I guess, work with them right away? Is it something that they keep coming back for more and more advice about life and other things in their life?
It varies. Some people, depending on what they have going on, they need more frequent readings, but I always try to leave it up to the client as far as how many times they would like to go to me, you know, for a reading. So most people tend to be like getting a reading every season or every 6 months. They tend to, you know, just get a tune-up, that's what I call it. But mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, if you have a lot of, you know, a lot of people are having a lot of upheavals, so some people like to get a reading once a month, you know, or the first of the month, the end of the month, just to help them get, you know, on the right footing, so to speak. But I don't like it when people become too dependent on me, so I try to, you know, recognize that too, where, you know, I'll say to people, well, you just got a reading last month and I don't feel that it's going to change a whole lot. So how about this? I'll draw you a card and, you know, just for free or, you know, just, you know, to help you.
Just don't bother me anymore. No,
well,
of course not. But I mean, it does get dependent. People do get, in essence, addicted to psychic advice sometimes.
I think, yes, if you don't have a lot of support or you're feeling a lot of upheaval in your life, there is, you know, the risk that that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Now, you said that you offer a tune-up. What does that mean?
Well, just, you know, I was kind of being humorous. I come from a family growing up with a lot of car guys. So.
Okay, yeah. Auto mechanics, all right.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But what does that mean, though? I mean, do you just...
You know, just to see what's going on. There might be, you know, an area that, you know, somebody did take action or maybe they're still feeling blocked that they want to get a little more guidance, because I think more guidance will reveal if you do take those one or two steps that you just know. You wake up in the morning, first thing, or before you go to bed, it's the last thing you think of, that, you know, project, that book you want to write or that class you want to take, you know, vacation you want to take, and it's like, well, I've taken a couple steps, now what is next?
Right. You feel that as people go on in their lives that somehow they deviate from their path and you just try to gently guide them back to the correct path?
Yes, I like to look at it that way. It's kind of like a, you know, just, you know, like a roadmap, you know, to get people back on track, because we're all human, so we'll do things to make other people happy or because of, you know, our conditioning, whether it's from parents or school or institutions, you know, growing up, you know, we have to work on, you know, healing the old programming that's limiting to us. So we're a work in progress, I think, you know,
all
of us.
Do you ever feel you just, in essence, have to shove somebody to get back on track?
Well, I think my ego, you know, will look at it that way, like, come on, you know, especially I think if somebody has a lot of talent mm-hmm. and they're not using it.
Right.
And so I have to kind of step back because I really want to be neutral, you know, in mm-hmm. the way I work with people. And yeah, I think it's more with loved ones, like family and friends. I'm like, come on.
Right. Do you get frustrated sometimes?
Oh, sure. You know, I'm human. So I just try to, you know, take it on, you know, with my angels. I'll talk to them, or sometimes I'll talk to my angels and say, hey, everything I just said, can you tell their angels to tell them?
Mm-hmm.
And that way it's delivered in a loving way, more loving than I could probably do.
Right. So you feel everybody has angels around them at all times?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, it depends, you know, with, you know, I think they're around all the time, but it's just whether, you know, people want to take their guidance or just acknowledge them, but they're there, they're waiting for you to, you know, give them some work, you know, say, hey,
yeah,
can you,
right.
They're patient with us.
Right. Well, they want to be put to work, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's, mm-hmm. you know, they're in our lives, you know, to help us. So they love it.
Mm-hmm. Now, do Do your angels actually have names that you work with, your guardian angels? Would you recognize names that say, oh, okay, that's Charlie, or that's, you know, Bill or Mary, anything like that?
Yes. Some people, you know, because we're human, they like, you know, we like to have people's names. They understand. I've read some things, and my understanding is that they don't have a preference for being called a certain name, or whether they're a certain gender, male or female. But yeah, and if you ask, like, hey, what are my angels' names, you will get repetitive names come through, either on a license plate or a billboard, or hear it, or just feel it or know it. You know, when you're being, you'll know, oh, that's my, you know, guardian angel's name.
Mm-hmm. So the people name them themselves, as opposed to the angels telling them, like, I'm Joe or I'm Sue or whoever.
Right. I think it works both ways. It's like you can ask them, say, hey, can you help me get your name, or what do you want to be called? You know, some people like to get that information, and I sort of shy away from telling people that information, because it feels like, you know, if you were going to be given a great gift or something at Christmas, I wouldn't want to spoil it and tell you what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I want you to come up with it on your own. But I can start to nudge people, you know, towards discovering it a little bit too, for how it would work for them, because everyone's different.
Mm-hmm. Now, I guess what I want to know is, in certain institutions or certain areas, again, you said you have problems in school. Does that really come into play where you don't know what you want to do or what you want to say due to the fact that you're afraid to speak up?
Oh, with giving readings?
Yes, that maybe you're hesitant to say something.
Well, I noticed that if there's some situation that is, you know, it does feel difficult, I, you know, on the human level, I'll say, hey, angels, what's the spiritual lesson in this? And that really helps to frame it. And I will even tell the clients that, yes, I understand, I'm also human, but let's look at it from the spiritual perspective and see how we can affect it that way via, you know, our healing, you know, process, or our thoughts or intention, you know, working with the energetics or the spiritual aspect of things.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know a lot of my guests have been raised Catholic. I don't know, there seems to be a common thread among many psychic people. Again, it's looked upon as something less than normal. Did you feel that just being raised a Catholic, were you raised Catholic, and did that influence you at all?
I was actually raised Lutheran, but very close.
Very
and,
close, right.
You know, theology and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the thing was that because I tended to be really internally rebellious, mm-hmm. I just really listened neutrally through everything, you know, because
right.
I had religion class every day, right?
Right,
so
right.
For 9 years, and I, you know, I think that when I got to college, I went to University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. It's such a more diverse place than, you know, suburban Livonia where I grew up. So mm-hmm. I was exposed to a lot of people and
right.
from a lot of backgrounds and cultures and religions. And it was really eye-opening for me because I saw that no matter what faith or where people came from, they're good. There's good people in every, you know, religion. So I think that I had that sort of, you know, mindset really with everything. And I wasn't going to listen to what they say,
right.
you know. And I do, you know, resonate with, you know, Christian, you know, beliefs, it, you know, everything. I always say if it's good and it's all good and people are good, it's good. I, you know, I believe in a little bit of everything, and I think there's good people in every religion. But yeah, I think at times, you know, some people have a hesitancy because of their religious upbringing to pursue, you know, intuitive development or other, you know, spiritual teachings.
Mm-hmm. So you try to remain open and non-judgmental in most cases?
Yes, I think, you know, I like to really respect people's beliefs, because if you've been invested for a lot of your life in a certain tradition or religion, I like to respect that. Even, you know, the Dalai Lama said, you know, when I saw him, that, you know, he was asked the question, you know, if everyone should be Buddhist, and he's like, no, just honor your path and follow it with all of your heart.
Right. Well, you'll know if you're on the right path. And again, like you said, everybody is intuitive to a certain degree, I believe. You know, you just have to work upon it. And you help give people tools to improve upon that?
Yeah, sometimes people will, I do attract, besides the life purpose questions, I will attract, you know, people that have that interest, like how can I develop my intuition more? And it works different for every person. And some people will receive guidance, like they need to take a class or they need to meditate or just, you know, shift the energy, like declutter their house even, you know, just so they're more energetically clear, or, you know, maybe stop eating so much sugar or caffeine mm-hmm. or different things that will help open them up, right?
Yes, but sometimes that helps people get by in life. I admit to using sugar and caffeine quite freely, but...
Hey, you know, it's all a journey, right? You got to do your best wherever you're at. So,
right.
I mean,
that's all you can do, right? Yeah. Is your best.
We're not supposed to be, you know, perfect, you know, on a human level, but it's like my teacher Doreen Virtue always says that we're divinely perfect, but, you know, our human side won't see that.
Mm-hmm. So you try to really pay attention to your physical as well. I mean, you try to eat healthy and that type of thing.
Yes, I don't really strive for perfection, though. I notice that everything in moderation is always, there's certain things I just won't eat,
right.
But, you know, it's just, you know, for a while, I think, you know, I pursued raw vegan diet, and it just was so, I felt so deprived. I was
also
working to train as an athlete. It's just, like, so limiting, and I just realized, you know, you got to find balance or harmony.
Right. It could be extreme sometimes.
Yeah, I think you just have to do what works for you. If that works for some people, great. But, you know, I do every now and then, especially when I travel. I like coffee, too. So.
All right, there you go. Decaf or regular, though? That's the key.
It depends,
oh,
you know.
Okay.
It depends on what type of flight I'm taking. You know, if it's 6 in the morning, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I like to do, you know, the human things. Sometimes, you know, once a year, I'm like, hey, I'm getting ice cream. I'm getting a refund from my taxes, right? So I want to celebrate.
Yeah, right. So that's how you celebrate ice cream?
Yeah, it was what we did this year, we decided.
Okay, instead of getting that bottle of champagne, you just go with the ice cream, huh?
Yeah, you know, and I, of course, I'm a rockabilly girl, so I might have a Pabst Blue Ribbon now and then, but not every day, right?
Yeah, well, you never know. I mean, it depends
on
the person. You know, it depends on what they want to do. Now, do you try to advise people on how they should live their lives?
I don't know. I think the should is the thing that sticks out for me. Like, I wouldn't want to do. It's like, I don't want to should someone. But, you know, I ask them, you know, just to follow their own heart and what's in alignment with their inner truth and to live that way, you know, to live their own inner truth and what works for them and to live their passion. I think when you live your passion, everything else really falls into place in your life. You attract love. You attract the abundance. You attract what you desire. It's
mm-hmm.
all good. It's good for the world, too, because you're serving the world in the way you're meant to.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel you're living your passion?
I think so. I think there's more for me. I'm definitely a writer and a musician, and I want to bring more of those qualities into, you know, what I do every day. I kind of consider myself a Jane of all trades, actually. Like, I see myself doing a lot of different things in a lot of different ways. But I still, you know, do have that, you know, call to service to help people and make the world a better place one person at a time.
Right. Now, you're able to do this full-time, are you?
Yeah, I've been intending that and working towards that. It is a process. You just have to kind of go with where you're guided. It can change. You know, you might change direction. So I'm looking at different avenues and, you know, teaching maybe possibly some more.
Mm-hmm. How long have you actually done this professionally?
It's been about, I guess, close to 5 years. So before
mm-hmm.
that, I had been giving readings, you know, for family and friends for about 5 years. So it's been about 10, but 5 professionally.
Right. So you practiced on family and friends for a while?
Yeah, they were my guinea pigs.
Yeah, well, I don't know
it.
If they want to be referred to as guinea pigs.
They
but...
know it. I said it, you know, I told them that. I said, hey, you're going to be my guinea, you know. But for
right.
other things, I did massage or energy work. So they were so loving and helpful to me. I'm so grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. And based on their feedback, you knew you were on the right path?
Well, I think it gives you confidence because we do have that, you know, like I said, the human ego that wants the confirmation.
Right.
So it's kind of like, I feel like I apprentice, like just in any kind of field you do, you got to apprentice for a while. I mean, you don't have to, but that's how I tend to work, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're giving a reading, if you do come up with something and you mention, well, I see a beach or something like that, and they have no idea what that means or no connection whatsoever, what do you say then?
Well, if they're not really getting, I'll ask the angels for more clarification. I'll say, well, what does that mean for this person specifically? And sometimes it may be they need to relax because that's kind
mm-hmm.
of a symbol for taking some time to relax and enjoy life, you know, do some self-care or, you know, do maybe get some grounding, you know,
mm-hmm.
or something. It may be, you know, that's the way the angels are speaking to them.
Right. Or could it be something that might occur in the future that they have no reference of at this point in their life?
Yes. And sometimes I'll say that in a reading. Well, that's just hold that thought and, you know, just keep it in mind, you know, especially if we record the reading or, you know, it's an email reading or something, I'll say, please save the reading because it may make sense at a later date, you know, because really, you know, there is no such thing as time in the spiritual realm. All time is now. You know, you can be reading past, present, and future at the same time. And it may make sense to them. It may jog their memory later.
Right. And do they ever come back to you and say, oh, yeah, now I know what that meant?
Yeah, I've had that with a couple of clients that have relocated. I kept hearing Kentucky or Tennessee or Florida, and they're like, yeah, you know, it's interesting. My husband got a job transfer.
Yeah.
Like, well, oh, wow, you thought I was crazy then. But, you know, I try not to be offended by it. If it doesn't resonate, it doesn't resonate. So we just kind of move on to the next subject and say, oh, maybe later.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Do you get phone calls from around the nation, different parts of the world perhaps even?
Yeah, I do have a large contingent of people on the West Coast that I give readings to, probably because I advertise out there a little bit too. You know, I like to, you know, have more variety too in the practice and have different people, different, you know, backgrounds and geographic. It's just interesting to me. And I've done some readings for people in Europe, more like email, but now there's Skype, so you can talk to people for free. It's really nice.
Right. Well, that's the amazing thing about computers is the fact that people can access your website from all over the world where perhaps they wouldn't know about you before.
Yes, I love technology. It's been an eye-opener for me. I used to really be afraid of technology, but now I really enjoy it, you know, working on my websites or just meeting people around the world from the internet. It's awesome with the social networking and stuff.
Right, so you embrace it now?
Yeah, I'm really like a tech angel. I have people calling me, asking me for help. I'm like, wait, how did this happen?
Yeah,
I'm
not
an expert.
Right, well, things change, though.
Yes, exactly. Change is all there is.
Mm-hmm. And this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest today is Lisa Cielo, and we're talking about angel therapy. Now, when you do angel therapy, is it something that you just feel on a daily basis? You can't get away from it, correct?
Well, I think it does come down to attention where, say, if I'm going to go on a vacation, like, okay, you guys, I'm off duty, or if I'm going to sleep at night, because I notice the nights I don't really sleep well are the nights I didn't say, hey, I'm off duty, because I, you know, work hard, I'll be, you know, shifting my own energy or working on different things in the spiritual realm, you know, going to different classrooms, you know, astrally or something, you know, getting messages for other people. And so I have to really be clear, you know, and I think, you know, I'm always open to helping somebody. And it seems like at random, you know, the universe or the angels will put people in my path that say they need directions, or I'm at the grocery store and it's like, well, what aisle is this? I'm like, I don't work here, but I think it's over there. It's really kind of funny.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, once a healer or, you know, facilitator, healer is what I prefer to say than healer, but once you are a healer, you know, I think it's really hard to, you know, put that aside. I think it opens you up so much to, you know, love that you just keep going.
But there are certain times when you just have to shut it down and take a break to recharge your battery, so to speak.
Yes, and I think, you know, it is a balance or just, you know, a harmony with it where you do, you know, have to take some time for self-care. And a lot of times, say, if things aren't flowing to me, whether it's my life or my business, I notice if I just even do a meditation CD for an hour or, you know, turn the phone off for an hour and just relax or just watch, you know, some silly reality TV show.
Well,
or play guitar.
Helps,
you know, I have different things I do for self-care. Take a walk, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, things start to flow to me more. It has been a lesson for me, you know, with that. So it's with everyone.
Right. Now, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do so?
I have a website. It's www.indigo, maybe I had too many W's. It's indigoangelbear.com. So
they'll know. It's just triple W. That's all I say.
I always add one more for, you know, safety. No, but I there's my contact information on there. There's my phone number and email address. So, and I also write a blog at angelbearhugs.com. It's a supplement to my website. So you can go there and get a oracle card every day. I draw a card every day for everyone.
Yeah, I saw that one, the Hugs website, where you have the little bear at the keyboard. Very cute. You have a little picture there. That's nice.
Yeah. It's just, I do have like a cute, loving side to my personality.
Do you have a name for that bear?
Oh, I think, I'm trying to remember. I think he is Paws because he was owned by my grandma and recently came into my life. It's kind of a funny story, but she's on the other side. But my mom had him and she's like, wait, you have two other bears like this? So I was like, can I have them? You know, I felt like a little kid. I was like, Mom, can I have this bear?
Do you feel you still receive messages from your grandmother?
I feel her a lot with me, and sometimes it's really, you know, because, you know, our deceased loved ones do still have an ego over there, so they're maybe not the best people to get spiritual guidance from, but I do feel her with me a lot, and she provides, like, color commentary sometimes when we're out in public or I'm at events. She'll have different things. I'm like, Grandma, that's not nice. I mean, but she has this real fiery sense of humor, so I do feel her with me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel a person's angels can actually be deceased relatives at times?
Yeah, I was wondering about that myself, too. In the research I've done, it seems that mostly how that will work is they'll become our spirit guides. So you say you have, like, one or two spirit guides. It could be your grandfather, grandmother. It could be, you know, an aunt or uncle or even a parent or somebody. You know, it's more of a family member because they've lived on, you know, planet Earth. They know how to help us. They've been there, so they have a little more wisdom and guidance. But I tend to work with guides and angels. A lot of people tend to, you know, resonate with both, working with both.
Mm-hmm. But somebody that did live with that person on the Earth plane might have a little bit of a vested interest in seeing that person succeed, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. And they love, you know, love never dies, so they're able to come from that loving place and kind of nudge us towards, you know, where we need to be.
Right. Well, that's very, very important. Well, Lisa, I just want to thank you for being a guest on the show today. This is the third anniversary of Metaphysically Speaking, so thank you very much for showing up to do that.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I really enjoyed it. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it, and thank you for coming in today.
Thank you, guys.
And I'm back, and I just want to thank Lisa for being a guest on the show today. I also want to thank my producer, Brandon McKay, for all his hard work. I couldn't do it without him. And the next show will be Saturday, the 19th of September, so be sure to come back for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking at that point. I do want to thank everybody for listening. Have a great day, and we'll see you next month.